This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
It is Wednesday. It is hump day. Happy hump day as we get through the week. Very, very excited to be with you, of course. And a lot to talk about on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. So the question, of course, is what does this new alliance between Xi and Putin mean to the world, the state of the world, the state of the world as we know it? Well, whenever I have questions like this, there's only one woman I turn to for answers on this issue anyway. Dr. Victoria Coates, former Deputy National Security Advisor and Senior Research Fellow at the Heritage Foundation and, of course, a Philly girl. Dr. Coates, how are you today?
I am well, Rich. How are you holding up?
Well, I'm holding up. Week's almost over, which is good.
Indeed.
It's been a barn burner of a week, as you might think, Dr. Coates. There's been quite a stuff to talk about, you know.
Well, there is a great deal to talk about, Rich. First and foremost, I think we need to talk about Trey Turner and the great gift that is coming to Philadelphia and what we got to see from the World Baseball Classic. It's going to be a very exciting summer.
My producer had to come in my ear to tell me that's the new shortstop for the Phillies.
It is. He is our big star, our star signing in the offseason, and he hit a grand slam in one of the games and then homered last night. And unfortunately, the loss to Japan, but the Phillies showed very well. So getting all excited.
So you're a hardcore Phillies fan. You're even watching the spring training games.
Oh, yeah. Usually we are at spring training. It gets worse than that. And we couldn't go this year because of some other travel that I had. But it's one of our favorite things to do, to go down to Clearwater and soak up a little sunshine and see how they're shaping up.
I used to love, back in the day, I would broadcast live from Clearwater. It was so much fun. Now the company's too cheap to send me down there. But I'll tell you, though, back in the day, it was great. And I told my son, Patrick, one of these days, I said, buddy, I'm going to take you down to spring training and just do a guy's weekend out of it. Because I do think it's a blast. Plus, it's Florida, you know?
Yeah, it's the free state of Florida. So that's all good stuff. But I suspect you called me to talk about something else.
I did. I wanted to ask you about the Eagles prospects.
Well, we're a little bit upset about CJ, happy about Slay. You know, there's lots going on.
Yeah, yeah. Is Jason Kelce going to stay an Eagle, you think?
He is. He said he's signing for another year. There was an awesome video of him doing tequila shots with Howie to celebrate. So that
All
looks
right.
like it's
well,
a
Well, then we're
deal.
Good. I guess we have nothing else to chat yep. about.
All right.
Have a great day. Well, while I have you on the phone, I might as well ask you about Russia and China. Since you are an expert in mm-hmm. foreign policy, I guess I'll ask you about that.
Well, it was a remarkable week for Americans to watch this play out in real time. In a funny way, it reminded me of last month when we were, all staring up at the sky at the spy balloon just drifting over our heads and the administration doing nothing and having no response. And you think back 50 years to Nixon going to China to create a strategic partnership with China to isolate the then Soviet Union. And that was a really decisive step that eventually, it helped us in winning the Cold War. So, these situations have happened in the past, but it's a lot better when the United States is playing a leadership role rather than just standing by powerless to influence events.
And when Xi and Putin are there and their buddies and they're talking about the new world order, the new global order here, what does that look like from China's perspective, for example?
Well, from China's perspective, it looks awfully good for China. You know, Xi is not in this out of the goodness of his heart. I don't think he particularly cares about Vladimir Putin. I think he cares about the vast natural resources that Russia possesses and is having trouble selling anywhere else. But one of the things that was remarkable about this very ostentatious, you know, state visit, it's not like anybody was trying to hide anything, and, you know, the whole thing was basically broadcast live, is Xi does not perceive there being any fallout or any consequences for this. And you have Biden, who spent the last year going on and on about how, you know, he's trying to isolate Putin on the world stage, that anybody who does business with Putin is, you know, going to share his isolation. But clearly Xi thinks that's just a paper tiger talking, and that there won't be any ramifications for this. And, you know, so far, rather like the spy balloon, we haven't seen any.
Yeah. And then I also worry about the potential now for China to take advantage of that and invade Taiwan, because that's obviously on everybody's mind. I don't know what the United States official position on that is under the Biden administration. I really have no idea, but I guess what the Taiwanese leader is going to be coming to Washington soon and having an official visit.
Well, unfortunately, no. The administration somewhat cravenly, in my opinion, came out yesterday and said that when the president of Taiwan visits, she will just be doing what they call transits. So not an official visit. And those will be, I believe, in New York and California. So there will be no official engagements, to my knowledge, in Washington. And I think you're absolutely right to be very, very concerned that China is going to make a move on Taiwan. And quite frankly, at this point, given the weakness of the administration, it would not necessarily have to be a military move. You know, they could move very aggressively in economic terms against Taiwan, create a sense that the United States is not firmly behind Taiwan. And so Taiwan better strike a deal, rather like Hong Kong. And we saw how that worked out. So I'm worried that this perception of weakness is going to be, you know, a much more powerful motivating factor than existed 2.5 years ago.
You wrote a piece for National Review, and it's entitled "The Iraq Lessons for Ukraine." And you said promoting democracy should not be our basic reason for supporting Kyiv. I agree with you, but give us your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it was in a way a hard piece for me to write, Rich, because, you know, I experienced Iraq in real time, and I worked for Secretary Rumsfeld, so I'm very familiar with what went into that decision. And, you know, I think it's hard to look back at it as anything but probably a blunder. I know there were elements in the Bush administration that were advocating if additional military action were going to be taken in the Middle East after 9/11, that Iran should be the target. Certainly, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, that looks like a pretty good option compared to what we have, which is an Iran emboldened largely because of U.S. failure in Iraq and how Iran's been able to capitalize on it. And I went back and was looking at it, and, you know, what struck me is President Biden's rhetoric that he's been using to justify the unprecedented degree of military support we're providing to Ukraine in these abstract terms of democracy promotion, that this is a global struggle for freedom. And it sounds to me just like George Bush's second inaugural address, which was delivered in 2005 after it was revealed that there were not stockpiles of WMD in Iraq. And the decision was made to pivot to promoting democracy as a path to peace as the justification for the war. Problem there is then you've got to create the democracy. Democracies do better when they come about organically through the actions of the people who are to participate in the democracy. And when you decide as an outside power you're going to force democracy to justify something that's already happened, you wind up in a real problem. And, you know, I say that as somebody who is an enthusiastic participant in democracy. I wrote a book about the history of democracy. I'm not knocking it in any way. I'm just saying when you are trying to explain to the American people this kind of investment of treasure. And then when we saw with the drone and the Russian jet over the Black Sea, you know, this can potentially drag us into something else. You need to do it in very stark terms, in terms of U.S. national security interests, not in terms, abstract terms like a global struggle for freedom.
Dr. Victoria Coates is with me. She is a senior research fellow concentrating on international affairs and national security at the Heritage Foundation's Thatcher Center for Freedom. Follow her on Twitter at Victoria Coates for not only foreign policy and international relations, but also for great ideas on the Phillies. When Biden says there's a red line, and this is the problem that I have with these guys when they draw these red lines. Don't say it if you really don't intend to do anything about it, because I think that just makes us weaker. And he came out, he said, if China helps Russia, that's going to be a red line. Well, China's helping Russia, and there's no consequences. It's very reminiscent of when Obama drew a red line with Syria, too. I think if you really have no intention of doing anything, don't even say it. I equate this to my kids. You know, I've got an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 3-year-old. If I tell them they're going to be punished and I don't punish them, the next time I tell them they're going to be punished, they don't believe me.
Yeah, it's the best way to encourage bad behavior. And I think, it's yet another unfortunate Biden statement. You know, you said a minute ago, you don't know what the U.S. stance is toward Taiwan. Well, that's because they keep taking different ones. I mean, on the one hand, our stated policy is one of, this is Diplo speak, but deliberate ambiguity, that we're not going to advocate for or against the Chinese one China policy. But then Biden has come out 2 or 3 times and said that, yes, indeed, we will militarily invade, intervene to defend Taiwan. And then, Blinken or some other poor soul has to come out the next day and walk that back. So nobody really knows what our policy is. And, I think with the potential of China to provide military aid to Russia, that's a big problem. I mean, how do you prove it? Do you need a Chinese flag on the bullets? What constitutes that? When at the beginning of the war, the president said if it were a limited incursion, it might be okay. Well, clearly, Putin heard that and thought he had carte blanche. Are a couple of shipments of ammunition one thing? Is providing something much more significant? The actual red line, nobody knows. And so, as I said, I think Xi has clearly sized the situation up and concluded that Biden's not going to do anything, at which point the rhetoric just becomes harmful.
And also, too, he said, we're not going to provide tanks. If you provide tanks, that's called World War III. Well, we're providing tanks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's it has been the issue that that I've had with this all along, is there just doesn't seem to be a strategy or any kind of limitation or guidelines to what we're doing. And we've never done anything like this before in terms of support to a war that we are not party to. And so what that looks like is a complete mystery. And I think as you start to see support for the war decline among the American people, it's not folks saying, oh, suddenly we love Vladimir Putin or we want Ukraine to become part of the Soviet Union again. Not at all. What I think folks with questions have are they want to know, what is the point to this? Our president at Heritage, Kevin Roberts, had a piece in Time yesterday just saying we have to be really serious about this because this is essentially a European war. And if there is conflict in the Pacific, Europe is not a Pacific power. It will assume the United States is taking the lead in the Pacific theater. If we are also leading on Ukraine, that's going to be a problem and a real strain. And so, I would really hope that our large European allies, notably Germany and France, would find a way to do a lot more for Ukraine if they're expecting us to be lead on China.
Before I let you go, you are speaking on a panel, very exciting panel, tomorrow as part of the America First Policy Initiative. It is preserving peace in the Middle East. You are a featured panelist on that symposium, which is tomorrow at 1:30 p.m., and people can watch it at AmericaFirstPolicy.com. Can you give us a little bit of a preview of what you're going to be talking about?
Yeah, it's a very interesting event, and Brooke Rollins, who's an old colleague of my husband's, actually is doing a really great job leading the America First Policy Institute and institutionalizing a lot of the things that President Trump got so very right, one of which is peace in the Middle East. And so, you know, that's what we'll be focusing on. We have Senator Lankford, we have Congresswoman Claudia Tenney, so Senator from Oklahoma, Congresswoman from New York, myself, my former colleague, Rob Greenway, who's now at Hudson. And so all people who participated in the Abraham Accords, the deals between UAE, Bahrain, Morocco, and Israel. And, you know, I think we'll have a lot to reflect on, given that just whenever it was, week before last, we had the announcement that China had brokered a peace deal on Yemen between Saudi Arabia and Iran, which is sort of the mirror opposite of what we did. And I think the need for the United States to be the lead player in negotiating productive deals to provide greater peace and stability in the Middle East is just painfully apparent at this point.
The Abraham Accords, I think, were one of the greatest initiatives in the Trump administration. I know you work closely with Jared Kushner on that, and Avi as well. So Avi Berkowitz. So thank you for your work on that. We'll be tuning in to watch the panel.
There is only one Avi.
There is only one Avi. That's very, very true. True indeed. Dr. Victoria Coates, former director, national security advisor, senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Thatcher Center for Peace. And of course, Philadelphia's own. Thanks, Doc. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Rich. Take care.
Rich Zioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.